the Savior, my friend. You'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him, and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart, He'll abide. Time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see. To Him.
Well, amen. What a great question that every person here should ponder and give an honest answer to. Thank you for being here this morning. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I want to say thank you to Miss Gayla Reed for buying the material to put together a new flower arrangement here at the platform and on the columns, and for Miss Jan Garner for putting those arrangements together. They're very nice, and we appreciate their thoughtfulness so very much. I want you to stand with me as we begin to read in verse number 1. Of Matthew 25. I'm going to be reading verses from Matthew 24, 2 Corinthians 11, and Galatians chapter 2, but the most of the scripture will be here in Matthew 25. I want to speak about three groups of people that the apostles and Paul found in the early church, but they were not Christians. Jesus gives us warning about them. The apostles gives us warning about them. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Frauds, fakes, and fools. Frauds, fakes, and fools. The Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." They were fools. "And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him unto the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins," that's the foolish virgins, "saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Now while you're standing, I want to read 4 more verses to you. In Matthew 24, verse 11, Jesus said, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 24 of chapter 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. False prophets. They're the frauds. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. In journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. There's the fakes. Galatians 2, again, verse number 4. That because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The fakes. So we've seen here in the Scripture the mention of frauds, false prophets, fakes, false brethren, and fools, those who pretend to be saved and are not and never get ready. Father, help me today as I bring this message to sound a warning to your people, lest we be caught up and following a fraud, a fake, or a fool. Help us to be honest and truthful about our own relationship with you. Let us look into our own heart and make sure that our eternal destiny is settled forever in Jesus Christ. Speak to us, and Lord, let us know your will for our life. I'm asking you to save every unsaved person here today. Lord, I don't believe there's false prophets here today. I hope there's no false brethren. And I hope there's not people pretending to be Christians and waiting for Jesus to come, and yet in their heart they know they've never been saved and they've played the fool. Lord, would you do a work in us, help prepare us for our life of service for you and for the day when Jesus comes again. Now we need you. We ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit as we preach thy word. We ask for you to walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium and speak to every person listening to my voice, whether they be on the platform or on the main floor or in the balcony or listening by the internet. Would you speak to their hearts today and draw every one of us to that place where we can say, I know that I know that I know I'm saved. I'm not a fraud, I'm not a fake, and I'm not a fool. I've been born again, and I want to serve my Savior with my life. Now, Lord, thank you for what you shall do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are nearing the end of the period of time known as the church age. The church age will end with the coming of Jesus Christ for the saved. Theologically and doctrinally, this is known as the rapture of the saints. After the rapture of the saved, all that will be left on this earth will be the frauds, the fakes, and the fools. Time is running out on the church age. I don't know how much time we have left, but I do know from the Scripture that it's almost over. Some of you listening to my voice are planning to get saved before the end comes. However, you keep putting it off, and time's about to run out on you. It's almost over. Soon, it'll be too late. Others here listening to my voice have been saved, and you plan to get baptized before Jesus comes. You've been saved for a while now, but you keep making excuses why you should not be baptized just now. You've almost waited too late. You've put too many excuses before the Lord's command. You're now approaching the now or never period of your life. Still, others are planning to get started in church and Sunday school. The fact is, at the first of the year, that's one of the things you said you had to do. But you've not done it yet. You've allowed your plans and problems to hinder you from doing what you know is God's will. And time's almost over. The clock is ticking down for you. The next event on God's calendar of prophecy is the coming of Jesus Christ. We don't know when, but all indications are that it'll be soon. And if you're not ready for His coming, you'll never have another chance after the rapture takes place. God's second chances end with His coming. There will be no more Bible-believing churches, no more Bible invitations to get saved, no more pastors pleading for you to accept Jesus Christ and do His will. Whatever you're going to do about your relationship with God, we must do quickly. Whatever you do for God must be done now. In our scripture this morning, we've read a warning about three kinds of people in reference to the Christian world and the local churches: frauds, fakes, and fools. And I want us to look at all three of these different groups of people and their relationship to the church. In Matthew 24, verse 11, and then again in verse 24, we're warned about false prophets. Or I call them frauds. God calls them false prophets. Now, they're not God's preachers. They're frauds. They do not preach God's message. Their message is fraudulent. They do not care for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Their ministry is a fraud. It's about them and not about Him. The TV and radio airwaves are filled with these false prophets, frauds. Now, I'm not saying everybody that appears on TV or that preaches on radio is in this category. There's some good Bible-preaching and Bible-believing men that use that time to get out a good Bible message. But you can always tell them. They're asking you to give to them and give to them, and they fly all over the country in multi-million dollar jets and live in mansions. And they preach a message of salvation by works that you can lose if you don't keep on working and keep on giving. Now, the Bible tells us their end. It's important that you know the difference between a fraud and a Bible preacher. The Bible tells us in the last days there'll come seducing spirits, deceiving even the elect. And we're to try those spirits. We're to put them to the Bible test. This is how we try them. If what they teach and what they preach contradicts with what Jesus has given us to preach and believe, they're frauds. The Bible tells us their end. Revelation 20, verse 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they'll be tormented day and night and forever and ever." Now, the false prophet here in this scripture is the one connected with the Antichrist. However, all false prophets shall have their place in that same lake of fire unless they get right and get saved. There's no heaven in that lake of fire. There's no mansion in that lake of fire. They'll have no jet airplane to fly around in that lake of fire. And there's no multiplied millions of dollars for them in that lake of fire. They better enjoy what they've got here, because this is the closest thing to heaven they'll ever know. They're frauds, they're deceiving people, they're leading people astray, and their place is in the lake of fire. The Bible says so. They'll be in hell with all other deceivers. And oh, how sad. Multitudes that believed their lie will be there in hell with them. The frauds. And then we see the fakes. In 2 Corinthians 11:26 and Galatians 2:4, Paul calls a group of people who came before his ministry false brethren. False brethren. They claim to be saved. They claimed to be a part of what he was standing for, but they were not saved and they were not for him or for the teachings that he taught. These were people who were associated with the Christian religion and even the New Testament churches. They were associated with God's people and passed themselves off as one of them. But Paul said they were fakes. They were false brethren. They said they were Christians. They said that they had believed in God. They said that they were for Christ and the church. But God said they were fakes. They were false brethren. And I believe God. Several years ago, I'd been out making some visits, and I came back by the church. It was a weeknight. And when I came back to the church, I noticed a car parked down here behind the two-story building. And so when I see somebody parked down behind the building and it's dark, I'm always curious and I inquire. So I drove around and pulled behind them and parked behind them. They were parked up facing the building, and I pulled behind them so they couldn't get out. And it was three teenagers. They were drinking Coors beer and throwing the bottles out on our parking lot. And so I went up to them and confronted them and witnessed to them. And they all said the most amazing thing. They all said that they were members of a church within this general area. They all said that they were Christians. When I asked them to tell me how they became a Christian, they could not tell me. They knew nothing about salvation. They knew nothing about hell. They knew nothing about heaven. They knew nothing about being born again. You know what they were? They were fakes. They were false brethren. They were claiming to be Christians, but they were living for themselves, living for the world. They knew nothing of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many are in our churches today like this. I wonder how many are in this church that God would say, you're a fake. You're a fake. You're a false brethren. There's a day coming when the real will be separated from the unreal. You may slip into a church, you may slip into a religious fellowship, but you're not going to slip into heaven. The Bible tells us that God knows the difference. 2 Timothy 2:19, I love this verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Every child of God is sealed. Like a cow, a longhorn steer on an open range on a big Texas ranch back in the 1800s, it had the ranch's brand on it, letting them know who the owner is. And the Bible tells us that every Christian, every child of God is sealed, branded by the Holy Spirit of promise. God has put His brand on the child of God the moment they got saved. Not only that, they're blood marked. They're blood marked. They have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ who died for them. Oh, God will have no problem seeing the difference. His brand is on His children and they're blood marked. They're marked by the blood of Jesus. But not on the frauds, not on the fakes, and not on the fools. I often ask the question, why in the world, when salvation can be settled so simply by accepting Jesus, why would a person go through their life faking it? But people do all the time. And our country is filled today with religious frauds and religious fakes and religious fools. That brings me to my next group of people. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. We're introduced to 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise. 5 were saved. 5 were ready for the bridegroom to come. 5 were fools. They pretended to be ready. They pretended to be one waiting for the bridegroom. But when the bridegroom came, the Bible says in verse number 10, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And then the other 5 came and knocked on the door and said, "Let us in, let us in." And the voice on the other side said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The Bible categorizes them, and it is Jesus speaking in Matthew 25 as fools. May I tell you why they were fools? They were fools because they did not heed the warning. The bridegroom is coming. Jesus is coming. Get ready. I promise you, this isn't the first time you've ever heard that. And yeah, there's some people in this congregation right now that if Jesus should come, you've pretended so long, but you'll be revealed at His coming. I would to God that everybody in the church that says they're saved is saved. I wish that was true. But here, half of those that said they were saved were not. Some of the great preachers of the past have said they believe that maybe as many as a half of their membership had never accepted Christ, did not know what it was to be saved, yet they pretended to be ready, pretended to be saved. They were fools because they did not heed the warning. The bridegroom was coming. Jesus was coming. They were fools because they neglected to prepare for the bridegroom's coming. They had plenty of time, plenty of warning, but they went about their business giving no thought about their need of salvation, their need of preparation, their need of settling the matter about their eternal destiny. God called them fools. They were fools because they invested time in religion but never did what was necessary to be saved. Invested time in religion but never did what was necessary to be saved. Now listen to me. Listen. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be saved. Thank God it is so simple. A child can be saved. And God has said if we who are adults are going to get saved, we've got to come with the same simplicity as a little child. It's by faith. And God even gives us the faith with which we believe. You want to be saved? You can be by believing that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised for your justification, and simply in a childlike manner, believing what He promised, ask Him to save you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We invest time in religion. We do all of these things, but we've never done what was necessary to have life everlasting, and that's to be born again. And all we do in the birth process is accept Jesus as Savior. And God does the rest. All we do is just invite Him to come into our heart and life and save us. And God does everything else that's necessary to save us. They were fools because they invested time in religion but never did what was necessary to be saved. Fourthly, they were fools because they thought they would be given another opportunity after the bridegroom came. They reasoned in their own mind that they'd have another chance. And when He came and they that were ready went in, they said, well, now it's time. And they knock on the door and find out it's too late. They were fools. They were fools. The Left Behind series concerning the second coming of Christ presents the false notion that after the rapture, people will be given a second chance. But according to the scripture in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the Bible says that because they did not receive the truth, God will send them strong delusion and they'll believe the lie and will be damned. Now, I've got to make a decision. I've got to accept as fact the Left Behind series, or accept as fact the Word of God. Guess what I'm going to do? Because I'm not a fool. I'm going to accept the Word of God. And there are no second chances for those who have heard the gospel after the rapture. The door was shut. Fifthly, they were fools because they gave thought to this life only and not to their eternity. I don't know why they didn't make preparation. Evidently, they wanted to go to heaven. They wanted to be a part of the family of God. They associated with them. They were identified with them. They were dressing like them, acting like them, doing what they did, except they never got saved. Don't you know you can't take shortcuts in this matter of salvation? You can't bypass Jesus and get to heaven. You can't go around Calvary. You've got to come face to face with the fact that we are sinners and we need a Savior, and the only Savior that God has provided for a hell-deserving world is Jesus Christ, who died for us on that old rugged cross. We must accept Him personally. We must accept Him definitely. We must accept Him as individuals. We don't get to heaven on somebody else's coattail. They were fools because they gave thought to this life only and not to their eternity. And I'm sad to say it, there's some fools here today just like those mentioned in Matthew 25. You've never really been born again. In your heart, you know you're not saved. But you've been pretending. May I say very plainly, you may get by with it until Jesus comes, but the lie will come out when Jesus comes. There'll be no pretenders in heaven, just the blood-bought. No frauds, fakes, and fools will walk down that golden street. Just the born again. Those who are not fools will get saved while there is time. They'll make preparation now for then. Then may I say in the second place, the day will soon come when all frauds, fakes, and fools will be revealed for who they really are. Now that's going to be a sad day and a hopeless day for many. A sad day and a hopeless day. It'll be a day that reveals a wasted life, wasted opportunities, and a wasted eternity. Oh, what they could have had here in Christ Jesus. What they could have been here, and what they could have looked forward to in eternity. But it's all gone now, because they chose to live as a fraud, a fake, or a fool. And now it's confessing time, when we stand before Jesus and have to give an account. And He knows. He knows. He knows. Holy Spirit knows. Jesus knows. The devil knows. And even you know this morning. You know this morning, if you've never been born again. You know. It's going to be a sad day. A sad day, a hopeless day. It was a sad day for the rich fool in Luke 12. He lived for money. Man, he was successful in business. He had more things than he had places to put them. So he said, I'll just tear down my barns, build new barns, I'll work. I'll drink, I'll eat, I'll be happy, I'll save all I can all I save. And Jesus said, but wait a minute, you're going to die tonight, thou fool. Oh, it was a sad day. It was a sad day for the rich man in Luke 16. He had everything in this life except he didn't think he needed Jesus. And he died. He died like the beggar died. He died like the poor people died. He died like his servants died. He died, but he went to hell. Not because he was rich, but because he never trusted Christ. It was a sad day. The Bible says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It is a sad day. May I say, dear friend, it'll be a sad day for you if you're not ready to meet God. If you've never accepted Christ. If you fall into the category of a fraud, a fake, or a fool. That day when you face Jesus will be a sad day. It'll be a hopeless day. It'll be a day when you will have lived your life. You have used up all your chances and now must face God as you really are. Why don't we just stop a moment? Let's get real about our life. Let's get real about eternity. Let's ask the question, am I saved? I don't want you to even ask as a husband and wife, are we saved? You can't do anything about your spouse. Am I saved? It's time for us to settle this matter with God. Salvation comes only to the individual who accepts Christ as Savior the Bible way. I can't tell you over the last 43 years of preaching the gospel how many people have told me, listen, me and Jesus have our own plan. Nay. God has one plan whereby sinners can get saved, and that's by the sinner accepting Jesus as his substitute and as his Savior. No other plans. You're deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself. Salvation is by faith. You ask God to save you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. God accepts no substitutes for the way He has provided for sinners. Now I want to ask you this morning, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Don't put it off even one more day. Now is the time for you to get saved. Now is the time to be honest about your need and your eternal destiny. And may I say without hesitation, after we are saved, God tells us that we're to publicly confess Christ as Savior by believer's baptism. That is our public testimony and identity with Christ as our Savior. If you haven't done that, what are you waiting on? Some of you are putting more confidence in people and allowing them to rule your life in the matter of baptism than being honest with Jesus, who loved you and died for you. One lady said, "Oh, I believe if I got baptized, I'd be slapping Mary in the face." And I looked at her and said, "Honey, if you don't, you'll be slapping Jesus in the face." "Well, I just can't disappoint my parents." Something's wrong if you getting right with God disappoints your parents. How about disappointing Jesus? Does that bother you? Since you got saved, you've gotten active in a local New Testament church. And that's right. That's what we ought to do. Why would not an honest Christian want to be a part of his church? Why would not an honest Christian want to be a part of the only organization Jesus established and commanded his children to be a part of and evangelize the world through? I just don't understand why a person says, "Yes, I want to be saved, but no, I don't want to be a part of a New Testament church." Hey, it's his church. It's his body. He's the head. And after the rapture, the Bible tells us it's going to be the bride of Christ. Why wouldn't an honest Christian want to be a part of his church? You know, it's time that we just be real. Be honest. Have you ever honestly stopped and looked at your life and your relationship with God? Have you ever honestly asked, "Have I been saved the Bible way? Do I believe it's by grace through faith, or am I working for it? One's right, one's wrong. Do I believe it's the water that washes away my sin or the blood of Jesus? One's right and one's wrong." I think we need to stop and just be honest. Am I a child of God or am I not? Am I a false prophet or a false brethren or a fool? I'll tell you what I want to be. I want to be able to stand before Him and face Him as honestly as I know how, having done my best for Him according to this book. Something's got to guide our Christian life. Is it what some preacher says that can't be backed up by this book? Or is it what this book says? The world's full of religious frauds and religious fakes and religious fools. It's your responsibility to make sure that you're not one of them, but that you have been truly blood bought, that you truly are a child of God, that you love Him, and that you serve Him, and that you are honestly and earnestly looking for Him to come again. He is coming again. Father, that's our message this morning. Would you speak very plainly to our hearts? I know it's not the most exciting message we've heard. It's not the most exciting message I've preached. But you put it in the Bible. You told us to preach the Word. And we need to give out warnings about these things just as we need to proclaim the promises and talk about the blessings of God. So Lord, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Would you give us time?